This is it. Week one. We have arrived. FSU, LSU. Let's break it down. Seminoles of Florida State. I let that run a little bit longer than I normally do just because it is week one. I'm jacked up. We've arrived. Week one of college football. LSU, FSU, primetime tomorrow night. This is the first CGAP Blitz FSU breakdown of the year. I'm pretty stoked. I told you guys in a recent podcast I've taken a different approach to my offseason, and I got to tell you, I think it's worked. I feel a little bit more energetic. I feel a little bit more enthused about the NFL fantasy side of things. And also, you know, I'm always excited about college because I prefer college over the NFL anyway, especially watching my beloved Noles. But this is a Florida State-based podcast today. We're not talking fantasy football. We're talking real deal. Tomorrow night, let's get it on. Tigers-Noles. In Orlando this year, instead of the Big Easy. And I got to tell you, if you watched the game last year, the Noles survived by a blocked kick at the end. Now, many people say, including yours truly, that game was closer than the score showed. FSU had a chance to score and put it away before it even came to that. And they fumbled the ball down there on the goal line. You know, that's obviously what happened. So we flip forward. We flip forward 1 year. And we have a lot of the same players. And then we have some that have moved on. FSU is returning a stack of players on both sides of the ball. Gives them the clear advantage in that regard. But there's some outlying factors that have got to be taken into consideration here. I'm going to start with the LSU side of the ball. Mason Smith, obviously you've heard this by now, suspended for this game. There was a mad scramble in LSU last week to try to schedule a week zero game last minute to get them a chance to, so he would serve his suspension last year and then he'd be available for this game. Didn't work out. I say, ha ha. That's funny. He was the guy, if you don't remember the name Mason Smith, he was the guy who was celebrating after a play by the LSU defense last year, jumped up in the air, came down, tore his ACL, was out for the rest of the season. This is a big-time NFL prospect and who won't be in this game for the second straight year. That is huge. That is huge. However, in his absence last year, there were players that stepped up and took their game to another level and elevated their play, and those guys are available in this game. So losing Mason Smith is a big deal for LSU, but the players that they have, you know, that have, you know, upped their game and added into their what they, you know, bring to the team, I mean, the loss is going to be there for Mason Smith, but it's not going to be the end all of the world. And, you know, it's just, you can just do whatever you want to on LSU's defense because he's not in the game. That's not the case. They have playmakers on both sides of the ball. If for some reason they are able to establish a running game, then they really could provide FSU with some trouble, you know, on their defensive side of the ball. The only thing with that is I don't think that they can get much of a running game going other than their quarterback scrambling, which is a very real, legit issue. And I'll get to the quarterback here in just a minute. But I do want to talk about a couple of wide receivers that they have. And you'll notice that I'm not going to name names. I'm not going to drop these guys' names out there. Okay? You all know who they are. I did say Mason Smith because he's not playing in this game. The quarterback, the running back, who's not playing in this game, I can name him, John Emery. John Emery, once again, I guess it's academics, again, not playing in this game. So the threat of the run basically comes from the quarterback. Now, if anybody else is able to step up, LSU is going to need that because they do have some wide receivers and a very, very good tight end. Other than that, though, the offense to me basically is centered around the quarterback play. And I don't look for FSU to spy the quarterback on defense. I look for him to kind of play him straight up and, you know, maybe make him throw if he scrambles. You're going to have that. The dude's going to make some plays, and that's something that even myself, we're going to have to accept. We're going to have to accept the fact that this guy is going to make some plays. Okay, he's been in football longer than Ty Streets was at Michigan. But he's going to make some plays. It's one of those scenarios, can't stop him, just got to hope to contain him kind of deals. And that's where the Noles win. Three and outs. Turnovers. A couple of turnovers. If the Noles are able to get a couple of turnovers, I think this game could get ugly. I think it could get ugly soon. Because flipping to the FSU side of the ball on offense. But giving credit where credit is due, the same thing can happen to FSU. If they have a couple of turnovers, a bad throw in the end zone, which has happened before recently, batted pass, something up in the air, and LSU's able to gain some momentum, okay, then we're going to really see what kind of fight we have seen all the way through. I follow about every media outlet there is in Florida State. Being here in Ohio, I can't go watch practices. Mike Norvell allows media to go watch practice and be involved, and he's on, you know, you're allowed to watch certain aspects of this and that. But I keep my pulse on the Florida State team, and from what I'm hearing, this is just head and shoulders an amazing football program. What's funny is as I'm recording this, they're doing the breakdown of the LSU-FSU game on game day. So here I am pausing the recording, watching these guys talk about them and stuff. And so I'm jumping back and forth a little bit. But the turnover battle, I think, is huge in this game. If neither team turns the ball over, we're going to have a really tight contest. I really think that both teams can sustain one turnover. Any more than two or more, and I think it's a wrap, especially for LSU. When you look at the FSU offense, okay, this is scary for everybody else. This is going to keep defensive coordinators and defensive coaches up the weeks ahead, the days ahead of the matchups with FSU. Jordan Travis, Heisman Trophy contending quarterback. Trey Benson, could have went to the NFL last year. Keon Coleman transfers in from Michigan State. Could have went to the NFL. He's NFL ready right now. He's the most polished wide receiver that they have. And that's not talking about the 6'7" Johnny Wilson, who is a matchup nightmare, who is going to give LSU fits again. Oh, but then wait. Don't forget, we got Winston Wright coming back healthy after his car accident from last year. Okay, freshman phenom who the world has been waiting on to get to campus. Destin Hill, slotted as a starter, as a true freshman. Jaheim Bell, NFL tight end, transfer from South Carolina. Offensive line, much improved. Trey Benson, Lawrence Toa Fili, they got a kid, Rodney Hill, who's a redshirt freshman, who's going to come in and take the reins over next year. This FSU team is loaded. You talk about not trying to slow them. All you can do is slow them down, not contain them. That's what it's going to be. I think FSU can yawn and go out and put up 30. Give them a couple turnovers, they're going to hang a 40-50 burger on you. This game is going to be a matter of establishing yourself early, stepping on the gas, stepping on the throat of the LSU defense, breaking their will and breaking their spirit and shutting them up across the way, because I cannot stand their coach. I cannot wait. Because if this game gets ugly, like it very well could, I'm not predicting a blowout. I would be shocked if FSU gets blown out. I will not be shocked if LSU gets blown out. I do not follow LSU like I do FSU. But when you look at the weapons on both sides, on both teams, from both teams, FSU's got a bullet in every chamber. I don't know that LSU can say that. I just don't. They have playmakers that are deep. They're deep at the offensive line. They may very well have, it's probably the best D-line in the ACC, maybe the best top handful D-line in the country. Linebackers, it's a little bit, they're good, not great, better. Okay, you lost Jamie Robinson in the secondary to the Carolina Panthers. So that's going to be a void that needs filled. He was a true heartbeat of that defense. Okay, can Shaheen Brown step up and do it? This is a big stage. This is a huge opportunity for both teams. I mean, I don't think that FSU is getting the respect that they deserve from other outlets outside of, say, the Florida area and the ACC area. If you look at the broad spectrum of things, people still think it's North Carolina and you know, Clemson still has their say in it, which is very true. Okay, Clemson's been doing it for a long time. But this year, this is the year they're set up, because next year they are losing a lot. Okay, if they're gonna make a deep run and win the conference and maybe make a chance at the college football playoff, I'm not saying they're gonna win the college football playoff. I'm not saying they're gonna be able to beat Georgia and Ohio State, not this year. Okay, I don't know yet. But I'd take my chances. I'd take them against anybody else and like my chances with it. Okay, I think if anybody could hang with Georgia and Ohio State, it would be Florida State. So, I mean, it's not unrealistic to look at the possibilities. They have a real strict creed at Florida State to only look one game. Do not look past one game. So we as Florida State fans and Florida State followers and stuff, and I speak for like Chris Frazier and people like that, James Coleman and things like that down in Tallahassee, we've adapted that one game mentality. So I don't look past it. I saw a thing on this cracked me up. I saw a thing on Twitter where one of the Miami Hurricane players said they were focusing on Florida State. Their main focus was beating Florida State. Well, they don't play Florida State until like halfway through the season. So you're focused on Florida State now? I thought that was freaking hilarious. I thought, we're living rent-free. Rent-free in your heads in Miami. Okay, and I don't think that they did not impress me. I had a couple guys text me, well, Miami looks good. Well, they play Miami of Ohio. They're supposed to look good. Okay, they don't look that good to me. They don't look that great. Same with the Gators. Gators, love to see them lose, but you know, these teams are going to be different as the season unwinds. But we focus on the one game approach. Norvell has preached that into his players. I've adapted it as a fan and as an enthusiast to follow one game. Well, this one game is huge. Not only the biggest game of the weekend, but one of the biggest games in the entire season. People say, can they lose a game and win and go to the college football playoff? I don't believe so. Okay, I think they'd have to run the table. There are outlets out there that say, yeah, they can lose one. They can beat LSU, lose to Clemson, turn around, beat Clemson in the ACC title game, and make it in. I don't know. I don't know that I believe in that, because even if they were to lose to LSU, beat Clemson twice, and still roll the ACC, they've got one loss, and you're going to tell me that if Michigan beats Ohio State, that one loss team's getting in. Alabama loses a game, they're getting in over them. Okay, Tennessee loses a game, they're getting in over them. The one loss isn't the end. It doesn't derail their season. It doesn't derail their chances of an ACC championship. But in my opinion, one loss derails their chance at a college football playoff. Just because there's too many other teams that could still potentially have one loss that have better resumes over the past handful of years that's going to get in. It's just the nature of it. So I'm not trying to sit here and think about a perfect season. I'm looking at one game at a time, and we'll take it one game, one week at a time. And then as we get closer, you know, there's a middle mush at the middle of the season, a couple of lulls right there where they could, I'm not going to say have a let-off game, but hopefully somebody doesn't sneak up and get them. You know, Boston College in Boston, Chestnut Hill. Pitt's going to have Pitt's sneaky good. So it's not just get past Clemson and get past LSU and you're there. No, there's other teams. And these teams are going to come in and give FSU their best shot. You don't think they're going to be jacked up in Chestnut Hill? I think that's Red Bandana game, too, if I remember reading something about that. That's a huge game for Boston College. That's momentums, and it's funny. So that's why you take the one-game mentality approach. You don't look ahead to that. Right now you're focused on LSU. You're focusing on going out there, business-like, take care of business, rock them to sleep, and then you move on to the next week. Predictions for the game. I don't like doing this. I don't. However, if you're placing bets, and you're into that kind of thing, the parlays or whatever, I'm taking that 2.5 points and taking the Noles in this game. I know that LSU's favored. I think the Noles are going to win. I'm not predicting the score. I think they're going to win. I think they're the better team. Offensively, defensively, I think they're better coached. I think they're better disciplined. I just think this is a better football team. If they lose, I will still say they're a better football team. But if you're betting, I'm taking the points and the Noles, and I'm rolling with them. This is going to be a great game. It really is. And we'll revisit this, obviously, afterwards and see how it all plays out. But for right now, the enthusiasm is high. The expectations are high in Tallahassee. Something we haven't felt, really, you know, palpably felt for several years now. It's back, and the enthusiasm. And we were down last fall. My daughter and I went down last fall. We watched the Clemson game, and it was there then. You could feel it. The electricity was there. There was the buzz. You could tell. And even though they lost that game, they never fought. They never quit. They never gave up. They fought to the end and came back and made it a respectable game, although the score really wasn't indicative of the game itself because they let it get away from them. But you could feel the buzz there. It's that times 10 now because of what they've got returning. I'm hitting the defense, and then I'm out of here. Okay, Jared Verse declined going to the NFL first-round draft pick. Un-freaking-blockable, unstoppable. The guy has got a motor that never quits. They brought in Braden Fisk. He's a transfer. Okay, they got Fabian Lovett back healthy. Daryl Jackson didn't get his waiver approved. That defensive line would be the best in the country. They got Patrick Payton, who's going to be the next animal to come through Florida State. The linebackers are better. The secondary is good. They are replacing Jamie Robinson, like I said. I think they can hold their own. Special teams, we did lose Micah Pittman and the special teams he transferred to Utah. I think that with Keon Coleman and Trey Benson and Lawrence Toffoli, whoever else they run out there, they're going to be just fine special teams. This team, to me, and this is not a biased scenario or anything, even though I should just homer up on the Noles. But to me, this team just looks better. You know, and as I look across the up and down, I think they are better everywhere. I certainly have a better quarterback, way better wide receivers, even though they do have an NFL guy over there on the other side. Okay? The tight end situation, you could almost say it's a push, but FSU's deeper. They can run three, four. They can run three out there. They're going to run three wide or three tight ends at you anyway. You're going to see three different tight ends in this game. You're going to see Biscuit, you're going to see Bell, and you're going to see Morlock. The numbers don't lie. Okay, now it's just a matter of you still play the game. You still play the game, and you got to go out there and win the game. It doesn't matter what the paper says. It doesn't matter that you're better here, 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 and here. Okay, you've got to go out and show it. Show the world, primetime, Sunday night. I cannot wait! College football, we are an hour away from kickoff. Hope Deion gets the crap kicked out of him by TCU today. Thank you for listening to my first CGAP War Chant Report of the year. Noles, Tigers, tomorrow night. See you next time on The Blitz.